Well, happy Canadian Thanksgiving, in case you don't know. Let's imagine with me for a second. For this year Thanksgiving, if you can invite three special person for dinner, well, you don't have to cook, probably, you know, yeah, we'll prepare the food for you. If you can invite three person for this year Thanksgiving to show your gratitude or your appreciation to them, who would be the three person? Let me give you 3 seconds to think about that. As I sat down and reflect, let me share my list of this three person. First, I would like to invite Kirby. Who is Kirby? Kirby was my housemate in my college years, way long, long time ago. We first met at Medway Hall, which is one of the oldest residences at University of Western Ontario, which is now called Western University. Yeah, both of us were only in first year. Kirby was born in Canada. I was from Hong Kong way back at that time. He was in zoology. I was in genetics. So we were a little close, similar background. We like sciences. And after all the years, Kirby now has been a teacher in a Christian school for many years now. Last summer, we have a chance to meet over breakfast in Richmond the past summer because Kirby came for a family trip. And over the conversation, we suddenly realized that we were both class of 1993. Can you imagine? Ooh. 1993. Do some math. 30 years ago. Oh, I'm embarrassed to tell you about that. But I'm thankful. I am thankful we still keep in touch, even though we don't see each other that much because he still lives in Toronto. I'm now in Vancouver, but I am thankful for Kirby. The second person on my invitation list was Miss O'Connell. Who's Miss O'Connell? She is one of my high school teachers when I first came to Canada. And to be specific, actually, she was not just a teacher. She was actually my guidance counselor. I don't know whether actually you still have this term in your school, but let me tell you what do they do. They don't teach, but they will support people's academic and career development. For example, if I get stuck in what I'm going to choose for university, I'll book an appointment and see Ms. O'Connell. I still remember the tough time I have at school when I first came to Canada, right? Oh, the math, grade 11 math was easy. I'm sure if you came from other Asia and then you come to Canada, you think, oh, that's a piece of cake. But, there's a but, grade 11 English was killing. First week, I need to study Shakespeare, you know. First time in my life, what is Shakespeare? That is really tough. I won't go into detail. And I just remember Mr. O'Connell took time to connect me with another student called Steve, a grade 13 student. Grade 13, I don't know whether you heard about this term. That was when I was in university. We have that strange thing called grade 13. You have to study one more year in Ontario, which we don't have here, right? And then Steve became my lunch buddy for almost the whole first semester. So I'm really grateful that she connected me with other people. Unfortunately, I have lost contact with her after high school. But I am always grateful for what she has done in my life, especially in the first half, the first year when I was in Canada. Well, the third person I want to invite, guess whom? Is my dearest wife, Shirley. The other day, I came upon a beautiful photo of my alma mater, Western Ontario. Wow, this is the photo. Can you imagine? You live there, you study there. That photo reminds me of the season when Shirley and I first met at Western. Wow, how romantic, right? As I look back, wow. It took me a while to find this photo, but thank God, I thought, okay, let's try the album. It was there. So I scanned it, you know, and here we are. I look back at my college years. One of the most important person I met has to be her. We met at CCF, the Chinese Christian Fellowship on campus.
And without knowing, we both signed up for a short-term missions to Kingston, Ontario. That's the summer after that school year. And through serving together, God brought us together, and the love journey begins. I don't have time to go to all the details tonight because this is not the topic yet. Next week, actually, male and female relationship, you know, the other speaker probably will touch on more. But I am forever grateful for having Shirley as my life partner, right? Yeah, I usually don't highlight this, but I think tonight, I think this is the appropriate time to do that. And this photo is, you know, means something. So here is my little Thanksgiving dinner guest list for 2023. I'm grateful to be blessed by all these relationships in my life. From the friendship I had with my roommate, to the caring teacher I had in high school, to the lifelong partnership God gave me with Shirley. So, who would the three person that you are going to invite to this special dinner, if you have a chance? For the month of October, our theme is relationship. Real and then relationship. We'll be exploring how good relationships are found, are built, and kept. First, we'll start tonight with friendship. And the next 2 weeks, we'll explore more about male and female relationship. And then at the bottom of the month, we will be finishing the series on mentorship, about mentorship. Let's start with friendship. Jim Rohn, one of the famous American motivation speakers, once said, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Simply put, the people you mix around with every day will determine your life. Think back. If you finished high school already, think about your high school years. You still remember who you hang out with? Or who you spend time with in university or college years? Who was your study buddy? And who you spend time with actually would influence the person you eventually become. Who you hang out with can elevate you as much as it can bring you down, actually. Yes, friends influence friends. And King Solomon in the Bible knew it well. As he reflected on his life, King Solomon also had an insight about friendship in Proverbs 13. It says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Yes, the people you hang out with the most of the time will influence you the most. We all know that. And we can, as we read further, actually, Solomon's understanding about friendship is reflected exactly in the life, not his own life, but actually of his son. Let's take a look at what happened in 1 Kings, in the Bible, Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 11. "And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his place." Rehoboam was the very own son of Solomon. He was also the grandson of David, right? If you know a little history of Old Testament. So he got great family, you know, father, Solomon, grandpa, King David. We would expect him to be as wise as, his father and grandfather. But unfortunately, something totally different happened. In 1 Kings chapter 12, the next chapter, when this king started his ruling, the people of Israel had a special request to the new king. In 1 Kings chapter 12, it says, "Your father make our yoke heavy. Now therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you." So the people had a request. So you must ask, you know, why are they having this heavy yoke? What happened? It was because under Solomon's rule, there was a lot of building and commercial projects at the time, which requires forced labor, the heavy yoke, the harsh labor. Even though the Israel people were already living in the promised land, right? You remember, you know, way back they were in Egypt, they were slaves. Now, they're in promised land, the land of milk and honey, the land of freedom. Unfortunately, they become people once more under harsh service, just as what they were suffering in Egypt. And facing such a request, this new king first approached some senior officials from the Solomon's generation for advice. And let's take a look at what the king's dialogue with those senior officials. In 1 Kings chapter 12, then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old man who had stood before Solomon his father while he was yet alive, saying, "How do you advise me to answer this people?" the king asked. And then they said to him, "If you will be a servant to his people today and serve them and speak good words to them when you answer them, then they will be your servant forever." Well, that's a pretty good advice, right? So the king's first response was to consult some elders who had been stood before Solomon, his father, while he was yet alive. So those are the uncles he knew for many years. And as we remember, King Solomon was known in the Bible for asking God for wisdom to discern, right? To discern means to perceive and to recognize. And during King Solomon's reign, God set in place elders after God's own heart to give him counsel as needed. So Solomon was really circled by wise people. And just imagine, if this new king took the advice of the elder, just as what we read, and do what they said, King Rehoboam will most likely be remembered as a great leader, as a good king, just like his father Solomon and his grandfather King David, right? And the kingdom of Israel would continue to flourish, I can imagine, and grew even stronger than David's time or Solomon's time. However, the story did not continue as we wish. The new king was not satisfied with this first answer, even though it sounds good, right? He seeks for a second opinion from a very different group of people. In 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 8, it says, "But the king abandoned the counsel that the old man gave him. He took counsel with the young man who had grown up with him and stood before him." So he seeks for his peers. We can imagine, when the king approached the young man for advice, they would give him a very different opinion. And instead of asking the king to be a servant to the people, they probably will say, I can imagine, "Doing less? No way, Your Majesty. The people are too lazy. We have so many buildings projects waiting for us. I think the people should do even more." I can imagine this is what they will advise the new king. The young man had no patience to wait. They urged the king to do more force. And eventually, the king answered the people harshly and forsake the counsel that the old man had given him. In chapter 12, verse 14, he spoke to them according to the counsel of the young man, which is the second advice, right? Saying, "My father make your oak heavy, but I will add to your oak. My father discipline you with whips, but I will discipline with scorpion." Wow, that's crazy. Can you imagine? The new king, this is his first thing he told the people. This is his first policy. A simple no. Even though it sounds simple, but the consequence was much more serious than the king would imagine. And let's take a look at what happened afterwards. After the king saying no to the people's request in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 16. "And when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, 'What portion do we have in David?'" Which is the dynasty, right? we have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tent, O Israel, not now to your own house, David. So Israel went to their tent, but Rehoboam reigned over the people of Israel who live in the city of Judah. In a nutshell, you know, these two verses tell us something really bad happened. The United Kingdom originally, which was first started by King David, is now divided. Originally, Rehoboam was the king of the United Monarchy of Israel. You know, 12 tribes, you know, all under one king, right? But after the 10 northern tribes of Israel rebelled and going independent now, Rehoboam remained as king only of the southern kingdom. And instead of one strong kingdom, there were now two weaker ones, and the consequence affected many, many generations. Just because of this one decision, Solomon's son rejected the counsel of those elders and sought counsel from his friends instead. Yes, friends influenced friends. And it did not just stop in a kind of personal level only. The end result of what the king did caused the division of the tribes of Israel, and the destiny of the whole nation was changed. This is almost one of the turning points of the whole Old Testament. Okay, so much about the negative example, about this toxic friendship. I think we talked enough for that. You might be wondering, does the Bible tell us anything positive about friendship? Well, let's go into New Testament. Let me share with you another Bible character. His name is Timothy. This one we might be more familiar. Timothy was a young leader in the early church at a city called Ephesus. Timothy has been learning from the Apostle Paul on being a leader. And after some years, as Paul was approaching his final stage of life, he wrote his final letter to Timothy and encouraged him to stand firm in what he believed and to continue the fight of faith. And being a young leader at Ephesus was never easy. Besides all the weekly responsibility of being a pastor, you know, at Ephesus church, Timothy also has to deal with a lot of distorted teachings from the false teacher. And in the second chapter of 2 Timothy, Paul used an illustration about the vassals in the great house to encourage Timothy. So let's take a look at 2 Timothy chapter, the second chapter. Now in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Paul here called Timothy to depart and avoid impurity in life. Paul here urged Timothy to pursue holiness and become a vessel for honorable use, to be useful to his master, to be ready for every good work. And then come to today's kind of key verse, 2:22. So if you want to memorize this, it's easy. 2 Timothy chapter 2:22. Okay, there are four, two together. So flee youthful passion and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Paul urged Timothy to run here. First, to run away from sinful desire, and then run after what is right. Run after God's heart. But there's a but here. But Paul did not ask Timothy to run alone. Paul did not ask Timothy to run alone. The pursuit of righteousness, faith, love, and peace is not to be done alone, but along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart, but along with other believers in Ephesus. This journey is not supposed to be run alone, but running with those people who are serious about God. So here, Paul did not ask Timothy to become a monk, you know, just go in the cave and study God's word and then be a wise man. No. Following Jesus in the community. Paul did not ask Timothy to put holiness, purity, honorable, good works in one box and then put friendship, relationship, community in a separate box. Didn't do that. Instead, Paul is asking Timothy to learn about holiness, to learn about purity in the context of a Christian community. In the Christian community, true friends pursue God together. True friends pursue God together. Paul is asking Timothy to practice good work, pleasing the Lord, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Timothy was not journeying alone, nor he was fighting the spiritual battle at Ephesus alone. At the church of Ephesus, there were brothers and sisters, you can imagine, who were laughing with him, crying with him, praying with him, growing with him, keeping Timothy accountable. And my prayer for you tonight is that at Koinonia, God will also bless you, plus me, bless each of us with true friends who will walk this faith journey with us together. God will bless us with true friends who will pursue God together. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. While most people seek for compatibility and common ground in friendship, when the Bible talks about true friendship, here are some of the crucial common themes: holiness, purity, honorable and good works, pleasing the Lord. While we may keep our secular friends, definitely we need that, but let's pray that we also have true friends in Jesus, whom you can run this faith journey together. As we are talking about friendship, let me also share with you how God has blessed me in terms of good friendship. After I graduate from seminary, I enter into full-time ministry in the area of student ministry, serving among high school and university students in Toronto and around Ontario. In August 1993, long time ago, God gave me a special encounter. Take a look at the picture. Student leaders from across Canada were gathering in Toronto for the very first recorded National Student Leaders Retreat. There were students from Newfoundland, yes, from Montreal, from Winnipeg, from Calgary, and a lot from Vancouver. And before the conference, I still remember I need to make phone call to people in Vancouver. Can you imagine? Back then, there were no Zoom call, no Facebook Messenger, no WhatsApp, no cell phone. I think we have fax machine back then, but nobody used it now, right? Back in the early 90s, can you imagine that there was a time most people, we didn't even have an email account. Crazy, right? At that retreat, I have met quite a number of student leaders who were really on fire to reach the campus for Christ. And at the retreat, we worship, we pray, we did Bible study, and we also form a national network. Can you imagine? We don't even have email. How do we form a network and to support each other? And after the retreat, I even took some of them to Niagara Falls for a tour. And this is the group photo, the next photo. Wow, it was definitely not digital camera, so it looks different. You probably can tell where I was. Among the group, God blessed me with a few wonderful brothers who has been a big encouragement in my own spiritual growth. After university graduation, one brother went back to Hong Kong and joined his father in managing the family business. Another brother who was from Waterloo eventually worked in Beijing in the high-tech sector for many years. And I think me and my wife also visited him once in Beijing, and he showed us around the city. Pretty cool. And then two other brothers stay in Vancouver, and they both become church pastor until today. 10 years ago, 2013, right? 2023 minus 10 is 2013, right? We had an idea of a reunion to celebrate our 20 years of friendship and brotherhood. And after much planning, all five of us flew from different places. I flew from Toronto, someone flew from Hong Kong, from Beijing, and then we met right in Vancouver, and that's the photo. Well, you can tell, actually, someone you might be familiar. Pastor Joshua was one of them, actually, on the right side, if you can tell. At the reunion, I am really grateful for the friendship and the support God gave me through these brothers. After that reunion, to make the story short, God even did more amazing things. Exactly 1 year after that reunion, God actually brought me and my whole family all the way from Toronto to Vancouver and to Koinonia. Well, I can tell, so all the connection, people ask me why I come to Koinonia. I can trace back almost 20 years ago, I met someone from Vancouver as well. The journey was simply amazing. True friends pursued God together. Flee youthful passion and pursued righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And my prayer tonight is that at Koinonia, God will bless each of us, including myself, with true friends, people who will walk this faith journey with us together. Whether you are still in high school, whether you are already in college or in career, I pray that God will bless us with true friends to run this race together. That God will bless each of us with true friends that we can pursue God together. As we conclude this message, I would like to give you a time of quiet reflection. I want you to close your eyes and bow down. I'll give you three pointers to reflect. First, I would like to invite you to say a thanksgiving prayer to God for someone in your faith journey who has been a blessing to you. Maybe your parents, maybe your good friends, maybe someone in this church has been a blessing to your faith journey. Say a short thanksgiving prayer. Number two, pray to God for true friends. Say a short prayer to God that you will be connected to brothers and sisters who will become true friends in following Jesus together. So pray to God that God will bless you with friends, that we can run this race together. The third thing, I would encourage you to pray for yourself that you will have an open heart to invite others to pursue God together. Maybe you already start running already, but you will become, you will take the initiation to invite someone who may be younger than you in faith to run this race together. So pray for yourself. Let's stand and let's have a closing prayer together. Let's stand together. Dear Jesus, we thank you for all the people who have blessed us on our faith journey as we reflect. Maybe they are our parents. Maybe they are our teachers. Maybe they are our good friends. But we thank you for the names that you just enable us to remember. We give thanks for each name that has touched our heart and blessed our life. We pray that you will give us true friends who will pursue God together in as we grow together, right in Koinonia as well. And I pray for each of us here tonight that we will have an open heart so that we have the courage to invite others to follow God together. So Lord, help us, and we trust that you will open doors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.